Hi, this is Chris Griffin, assistant editor for SearchDisasterRecovery.com. I'm here today to talk about server virtualization with Paul Kervan. Paul's an independent consultant in business continuity and technology. How's it going today, Paul?
Okay, great, Chris. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. Let's get right into it. How does server virtualization improve recovery times?
Well, right now, with traditional technologies, tape, even the tape systems, it's not uncommon for recovery to be in the area of 1 to 2 days to completely restore systems. And again, a lot of that, of course, depends on how large the system is and how much data is being restored. But with a virtualized infrastructure, it's possible to reduce the amount of time needed for a complete restoration to 4 hours or less. Now, this sounds incredible, but among the reasons for making this possible is that it's not really necessary to rebuild servers, applications, or even operating systems all separately because they exist elsewhere and they're ready to be brought back online. But it's important that those systems are regularly monitored to make sure that they are in place and that they're kept up to date. It's also a very useful way to do any kind of disaster recovery testing, because you can run a test on the virtual image, if you will, of the system without affecting your production system. So virtualization offers some very compelling reasons for use.
Okay, so can you discuss some of the various server virtualization approaches that are most effective for disaster recovery?
Yeah, primarily virtualization is done either with hardware or software or a combination of both. And of course, the idea behind virtualization is to save money, reduce space requirements, reduce power requirements. But again, the key here, or one of the key issues in terms of disaster recovery, is to determine how many servers you're really going to need to do a proper backup and also create a full image of all the information. So this gets us into what's called the server consolidation ratio. That's really, in effect, the number of virtual machines that a physical server can host. And if you're looking to reduce your inventory of servers and other related technology, that's fine. But it's also important to make sure that you don't arbitrarily reduce the number of servers too far, because if you need to recover and restore critical applications as well as operating systems, you want to make sure that you have enough hardware assets to do a restoration. So it's a good idea when you're building this environment to create what you would call, I guess, your virtual disaster recovery servers, so that you have earmarked assets in place that can be used for a disaster, and those particular servers are fully maintained and managed the same as your production environment would be. The good news, again, is that having this in a virtualized environment gives you the opportunity to restore things much more quickly than if you were moving tapes and recovering servers and all those kinds of activities.
Okay, so are there then specific approaches to determining what systems in your business should be virtualized or need to be virtualized?
Yes. From a practical standpoint, you probably want to look at those applications and operating systems that are most critical to the business. Email, obviously enough, is probably one of the most important applications. Probably Microsoft Office, although it's not uncommon for Microsoft Office to be implemented on individual systems. But again, depending on how security is arranged, those assets may also be implemented in such a way that people download use the files that they're working with, but they go to another part in the network where they actually operate the applications. So it's important to make sure that you first identify those systems, applications, operating systems that are really most critical to the organization, and then focus on those in terms of the recovery effort. So that would be kind of the most, kind of the principal thing to do. The like email, critical applications such as the Microsoft Office, and any specialized applications that were developed in-house or that are not easily recreated.
So, what are the major solutions on the market that facilitate disaster recovery in a server-burned environment?
Well, from a software perspective, VMware is probably the largest vendor of products and services. They have a service called ESX Server, and that's very, very popular in the industry. VMware Server, which is a free software product, is also very, very popular. Microsoft Virtual Server is widely used as well, although not as widely used as the VMware products. A lot of organizations leverage partitioning capabilities from their mainframe environment into virtualization options. There's a product put out by a company called Xen, X-E-N, the hypervisor, and it's actually open source software. And it's some people consider it the industry standard for virtualization. It's applicable and supports a number of different kind of environments, including Windows, Linux, and Solaris, and has built a very, very strong reputation for efficiency. On another company that I just share with you is a company called Neverfail Group. It's actually originally a UK organization that has expanded into the US and has done very, very well. And they specialize in delivering continuous availability solutions for all different kinds of environments. They've been particularly successful in that the product, the Neverfail products, easily utilize existing hardware and software. There's a nominal extra investment that's necessary with these kinds of things. And they are able to do failovers very, very quickly, usually within a matter of seconds. And failbacks coming back to an original environment are often just as quick. So Neverfail is just an example of one of the products out in the marketplace that can give you a very, very quick fallback as well as failover capability.
Okay, Paul, can you talk about failover and failback in a server virtualization environment?
Sure. Well, just by definition, failover is the capability to switch over automatically to a redundant or a standby server or system network, upon the failure or abnormal termination of any kind of a previously active asset. It normally should happen without any kind of human intervention and generally without warning. This contrasts with switchover, which is where you're dynamically making a transition from one environment to the other. Failback is just the opposite. It's the process of restoring a system or other asset that's in a failover state back to its original state. So the assumption there is that you're able to bring it back to the state of operations before the disruption. So with a virtualized environment, I mean, you can restart, or you can fail over to a virtualized environment, which exists, of course, in real time, similar to what we talked about before. And it's very easy from there to come back or fail back into the original mode, again, because you can maintain images of those previous environments in your virtualized environment. What's nice about this is that it speeds your recovery time, and it also makes it possible for you to do testing on an actual system or systems without adversely affecting your actual production, because you're able to keep an image of network environment, servers, storage, all that kind of stuff in your virtual disaster recovery environment, and you can turn it on or off or as quickly as you'd like. So that's another area where you know, virtualization really helps, and that's in the area of testing.
Okay, great. And finally, can you just tell us a little bit about disaster recovery planning in a virtualized environment, and in particular in terms of cost, procurement delays, and increasing the recovery speeds?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, virtualization has a number of very significant benefits, such as reducing the number of devices, reducing the footprint in a data center for equipment, reducing power requirements, I guess if you're going to be doing something like that, aside from the traditional benefits, when you are doing disaster planning, you want to make sure that you're looking at various issues such as backing up your critical data, and again, you may be using tape, you may be using disk, RAID technologies. I mean, there's any one of a number of different options available depending on your data requirements. But the access to a virtualized environment can certainly be factored in when you're developing your recovery plans, because if nothing else, you'll have excellent control over where your emergency resources are located, because you'll know where they are. And as we mentioned before, you'll have the ability to do testing on pretty much a dynamic basis. So you'll always know that your resources are in place, ready to go, and that the data is current. And probably also be able to justify the value of having disaster recovery, because as you're reducing your footprint, the number of devices, your power requirements, conversely, you can say you're also increasing and improving your ability to recover in any kind of an emergency, because you'll be able to create a virtualized disaster recovery environment that will be ready and can be brought online almost instantaneously. So while you're saving money, you can also be improving your ability to recover. And I think you should be able to make the case that disaster recovery in conjunction with a virtualized environment could probably go a long way to helping improve your return on investment for the whole virtualization strategy.
Well, thanks for joining me today, Paul. This is pretty informative stuff.
My pleasure.
And to learn more about server virtualization, be sure to visit searchdisasterrecovery.com.